Sports news and entertainment covered with some middle ground common sense right here with the Smart Guys.
And by the way, they're made up of Charles Walshine, foreclosure defense attorney. Walshinelegal.com. And, of course, great Steve Schwartz, business aficionado, entrepreneur. MrDumble.com. Those shirts are selling like hotcakes. As we try and provide folks a little common sense, which you don't see a lot in and around the airwaves these days. But that's what we try and do in this segment. We say a very good morning, Mr. Walshine, Mr. Schwartz. Guys, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How you doing?
Jay, good Charles? Morning.
How you feeling, Charles? Good? Everything good?
Everything good. Dandy.
Excellent. Steven, were you at the Islanders game? And that was something last week. And we await, and I could feel it, man. I could feel it. Something's going on here. End of the Coliseum, into the new Coliseum. I could feel it. A la the Yankees, 2009. A little, you know, listen, I feel some good things going on here.
You really can, Jay. I mean, Long Island is erupting, and the world is erupting, and NBC Sports is erupting because NBC is taking this on. They see what's happening. It's like the savior of their hockey ratings because everybody, the New York Islanders, our barn, our Nassau Coliseum is becoming America's team, and it's a beautiful thing because, you know what? We all need it. This is a good thing.
Yeah, seems to be. Something going good, I'll tell you that much. Is it going good, Charles, regarding the DOJ and Donald Trump and the latest happening here as far as Democrats and private information? And here we go again. You know, it seems to be an obsession at this point in time. Even I couldn't help but watch Joe Biden yesterday in Brussels talking about the Republican Party of all things, right? And of all things, Donald Trump, and it's like it's a complete obsession on every front here. Your take, sir?
Well, you know what I find very, very interesting is that the on the one hand, the DOJ is basically investigating itself, and in the same exact moment, the DOJ is also defending Donald Trump in a defamation suit. So, Merrick Garland is probably making a lot of Democrats disappointing them because he's being so impartial. If there was something going on with how the Trump administration was using the Department of Justice as his own personal hit, you know, legal hit squad, that's a really bad thing. And I think it deserves at least a look. Don't get crazy about it. He's not the president anymore. And anything the DOJ did, they can't do again for at least a long time. So you know what? Just look at it, see what happened. If there's any major, anything major that was done, you know, in terms of like being really, really like actionable instead of just sort of like the kind of thing that just annoys people, then do something about it. But I think you know, I think that the Democrats right now are being a bunch of crybabies that you know, against Garland because he's being actually doing his job and being impartial. So, you know, they wouldn't, you know, you certainly wouldn't see it if the shoe was on the other foot, they'd be, you know, if they were being persecuted like they were, you know, during the Trump administration, which, by the way, is not uncommon. You see that all the time. I'm not saying it's right. Nixon was excoriated for that, for the same type of behavior. So, like, are things better? Yeah, I would say things are better. They're looking up. There's a lot less discord, so I'm pleased with what I see so far. I think we have a long way to go on civil rights in the Department of Justice. That whole department has to be rebuilt. But you know, other than that, you know, let's get down to business.
All right, Stephen, what's your take here? You know, DOJ, the Democrats. It seems like they cannot get this guy out of their heads on all fronts. Mentioned the president in Brussels yesterday bringing it up. It's unbelievable. You know, I would imagine it'll be brought up in conversation tomorrow between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin, the name of Donald J. Trump. It's an obsession, it seems, right now on all fronts.
Yeah, I mean, less is more. I mean, they really need to just move forward. We have such big issues going on here that we can't go backwards. We got to go forwards. And, you know, the idea that the big monster is gone and he's done, and the more you bring it up and the more you're making it into an issue, the more you're bringing him back. So there's so much to this too, because you know he did a lot of damage, and like I said, he did a lot of good things too. It's a mixed bag all the way through. Let it go and move the country forward, because oh man, there is a grocery list of stuff that's coming right at our front door, and we got to be better, and we need the international community to, you know, to come together. You know, there's so much on the table, whether or not you want to talk about the stuff with China, if you want to talk the stuff about Russia, you want to talk about, you know, cyber potential attacks, things that we have got to come together as a unified group and a solidified group moving forward, because I want to tell you something, Jay, Joe Biden alone is a disaster, a disaster. He's going to need all the allies he can get.
And, you know, Charles, you know, I'm glad he's having tea and crumpets with the Queen. But, you know, I look at tomorrow as one of those benchmarks as far as his presidency is concerned. It's early. I get it. But what kind of stance do you actually think he's going to take? Do you think, if any? Do you think anything? If the situation of the pipelines, the hacking, the electoral meddling. You know, at what point does Joe Biden take a stance? Now, of course, Putin will deny everything, okay? He denies everything in creation regarding all of these incidents. But what do you expect, if anything, out of tomorrow's big meeting in Geneva?
Probably not much. You know, there's a lot of maneuvering right now, and there's going to be a lot of strategy. And we're not going to know, unfortunately, we're not going to see any of it. No, this is not like he doesn't broadcast stuff. He's not I don't think his administration looks for headlines immediately. I think there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we're just not going to see. And I don't think he's going to lay down. I also don't think he's influenced by and then you can say whatever you want, but I strongly believe that the Russians, and I don't mean the Russian government, but I think Trump got a ton of his money from very wealthy Russians, and I wouldn't say he was laundering it, but the reason you'd have seen the tax returns is because any good forensic guy can trace things back to where the money came from. And I know it wasn't, he didn't borrow that money in Bitcoin, and I know it's traceable, and I know a good forensic accountant or a team of forensic accountants can trace that money and see that he borrowed for all these hotels. He certainly wasn't borrowing it from any bank, that's for sure. So, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff going on. Let's just say that. And, you know, Biden's going to be influenced the way Trump was. So let's see what happens. So, yeah, I'm not ready to pass judgment, because I don't know. Again, we don't know enough. There's not enough transparency, and there shouldn't be. These things should be done quietly. And the one thing I really found interesting is that how quiet Biden was about the pipeline with Germany. We've been on the outs with Germany for 4 years, and that's a deal that they really needed. So I think there was some politics played, like a quid pro quo. You know, we're not going to say anything about this. We're not going to make too much of a stink about it. If we get some quid pro quo later, and I think right now is later. So let's see what happens. That's the only thing I can tell you. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. That's a good point with Germany. Steve, what do you think? What do you think happens tomorrow? Anything, do you expect anything out of Biden with Putin or no?
As far as style points and stuff, I think this is going to be like a non-story tomorrow. I think this is going to be like two guys getting in the ring, trading no punches. There probably won't be one punch thrown. It'll be, like you said, like with the Queen, the way he handled the Queen. Look at the way Trump handled the Queen, meeting the Queen, and look at the way the Bidens handled meeting the Queen. I mean, the Bidens are going, you know, quiet, textbook, correct, you know. And whatever Charlie said just now, he's right on, because I don't think Biden's going for any headlines. I don't think Biden's taking anything on. I think Biden is playing ping pong. He's just going to get the ball back, and that's it. There's going to be no major thing going on. If you're looking forward to like confronting him and being powerful, they already said that they're not going to have a press conference together, and they're going behind closed doors, because I think that Putin would eat him up and chew him out if they had like a public thing. I think this is set up perfectly for Biden. He's gonna explain his points behind closed doors. It's gonna be really, really quiet. It's not gonna be headline news. It's gonna be a go away. Which really, in a way, like I said last week, I never thought I'd say it, but I this is the time you need a very, very powerful guy in there to sit there, because we have real issues. These are real issues that are going on. This is, like I said, with China, this is the first blow at World War III without firing a shot. The cyber stuff is so scary moving forward. There's so much going on in the world that we really do need not to be playing a ping pong here. We really need to get down and show the world that the United States of America is the leader and the paramount of the world going forward, for democracy, for all the good stuff that we stand for. And Joe Biden is listen, he's correct. He's politically correct. He knows how to shake hands well. He looks the part at times, and at times he looks completely way off. So we got to keep him just looking the part and trying to move the ball forward, so the guys behind the scenes can really make the decisions, and hopefully, you know, in a way where America, you know, rises to the top again. Because right now, Joe Biden is not the answer.
He's behind the scenes. Charles, interesting comment there from Mr. Schwartz. Are we talking about Barack Obama, who is bringing in the plays from the press box? What do you think?
No, I don't think this administration is consulting too heavily. That's not anybody's style. I mean, that doesn't really happen. I think there's some overlap in, you know, who the advisors are from the Obama administration. I think there's some carryover because they're like career Democrats. But other than that, I don't really think there's too much going on in that realm. Like Obama calling in the pulling in the plays. I think Biden's got more experience with this than anybody. But to tell you one thing, is that he's really, if everybody doesn't see that he went to NATO and to the G7 with his hat in his hand, apologizing for this, you know, for what happened, you know, this America First nonsense. You know, we've got really, really big problems, because I know that nobody sees it, because I don't hear anybody talk about it. No one's talking about how the paradigm has shifted in, you know, with the way the world has been arranged. You know, you have the comeuppance. You know, you have a comeuppance of China and the type of influence, economic influence that they're throwing around. You know, people seem to forget that they're holding on to $1 zillion worth of our debt, and that they have more power right now. I mean, it's really in a standoff between the United States and between our economy and our currency and their ability to produce goods, because we're their market, and they're trying to move into Europe. And they're trying to influence Europe the same way that our dollar has influenced Europe for the last 60 years with the petrodollar. And people don't understand this. But you're not hearing about any of this right now. But you should be. I don't know if, like, once again, I think the politicians don't give the American people having any brains at all. I don't think, I mean, I know that this audience that we're speaking to, they have, you know, they understand this. You know, we're in New York. I don't, you know, and we have, you have, you know, and this is a sophisticated audience that we have. So I don't think, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that isn't being talked about. And I don't know if it's because it's, you know, most of these stations, you know, the big three don't give their audience credit for understanding, being able to understand this stuff, or maybe they just don't want to talk about it because, you know, it's apolitical. So these are things that transcend administrations, right? I mean, like, China's not going away. It wouldn't make a difference who is president. Russia, we have the problems we have with Russia, and, you know, and Russia's foreign policy trying to influence, you know, politics in Ukraine, you know, throughout the caucuses, you know, trying to, I guess, trying to politically consolidate, you know, the old Soviet Union, you know, without actually being the Soviet Union. You know, I think these things, it doesn't make a difference who's president here. There's nothing we can do about that. That's like, that's another part of the world. That's, you know, we have to deal with it, and we need our alliances. And anybody who thinks like this America first is like, you know, we're just going to do it because we have atomic bombs and et cetera, we can just, you know, throw our weight around. We need allies. And I think the one message that Biden really went over there said to Europe is we need you. And by the way, that is not a sign of weakness. People should not interpret that as a sign of weakness. Well, that's why our diplomacy, having like real diplomacy, like Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, that type of foreign, you know, those guys making foreign policy without promoting war and aggression and throwing our elbow, you know, with sharp elbows. This isn't that. This is like old school, make moves, you know, and don't rely on, you know, on brute force. Oh, and tough talk.
The bottom line is
your electorate. I don't think
here's the bottom line.
That's where Biden is.
Listen to me. The bottom line here is Trump was tough on China. Okay, so I look at this president now, where he should be getting together with his allies to act in unison and get answers from China. Okay, and you want to know something? Reparations as well. In my estimation, because the evidence is mounting that this regime is guilty of manslaughter. And listen, you look at everything going on in that laboratory and everything, okay? And the covering up that is evident here, the back and forth as far as these investigations. Yes, no, what are you doing here? If you're Joe Biden right now, you act in unison with your allies to get some answers here. And let me tell you something, Steve. Reparations to me are not out of the question as far as I'm concerned. This is where you miss the old regime because, let me tell you, feet held to fire. You know what was going on the last 4 years. You're not seeing that right now. China right now represents the biggest foe in all of this stuff.
Yeah, right on. I mean, right on, Jay. Well said. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind. I've been saying this now for a better part of a year, right from the beginning. You know, you thought it was conspiracy, but I wasn't giving conspiracy theories. I was telling you point blank, this was a deliberate man-made act right out of China. And it's every day that they don't come forward and every day that they are uncooperative is just more to their own guilt. This is a disaster as far as I'm concerned. And this was a shot at our country again without even firing a shot. Again, if you want to do a little history, when Xi and Trump got together at Mar-a-Lago and they were shaking hands and saying, you got to try the pecan pie, you're going to love this pecan pie, you know, and Xi was shaking his head. But, you know, Xi is a smart guy. You know, he's an evil guy, but he's a smart guy. And he was playing Trump the whole way. Yeah, we're going to throw tariffs on. We're going to do this. We're strong. We're this. We're that. You know, I get it. America first, and I'm for all that, but not the way, again, the right message, the wrong messenger. Trump really was the wrong messenger, but he had the right message, and Xi just shook his head, and he sent a bunch of women around the country, okay, including Mar-a-Lago. If you remember, they had some files. They said, all right, just throw them off the property. I don't know. We found some files. Meanwhile, these people were going all over the country and spreading the COVID all over the country. I mean, there's incidences. This isn't conspiracy theory. This is all factual theory. This was a planned out thing that you're beginning to see it more like the light is coming on and it's shining. And why wouldn't you want, if it wasn't just an accident, why wouldn't you want a full investigation there? Because maybe if they come forward, maybe we could understand what this was really about, and maybe it would help with the cure throughout the world. Science is a very interesting thing, and it goes a lot faster when you realize what actually was done rather than guessing what was done. I still think it was like a biological thing that's exploding people's bodies And it's not acting like this so-called virus. It pretends to be a virus, but, you know, there's incidences of people. There was an incident within the last 48 hours of a girl who passed on with her parents out of nowhere, came out with coronavirus, and she's dead in 72 hours from coronavirus. It's something in the makeup which explodes your body. This is a man-made terrorist attack against our country and the world. And you know what? China needs to be held responsible. So kudos to you, Jay. Right on. Reparations, the whole bit. I'm with you.
This is why I say this has to be a team effort here, a multinational effort to isolate China, get some answers, and listen, why not demand reparations? I'm sorry. But I'll tell you one thing. We don't get answers. We are looking at more viruses, and I mean disasters, that could be coming down the pike here. And I don't want to hear about this WHO to investigate again. You know, the administration has called on WHO. You know that. WHO allowed China to handpick the first investigation team, ban access to some of this evidence, and veto conclusions. Let's not forget WHO, what they stand for. You want WHO again involved here? I mean, come on. We know that this so-called organization remains a puppet to China here. So that's never going to fly. I tell you, it's an absolute disaster. I don't want to hear about Anthony Fauci anymore either, you know, telling Congress that the lab staff are competent people, trustworthy scientists, and everything else. That's why Fauci has no credibility any longer, in my estimation. So we'll figure that out. Now, listen, before we head to break and give out the coveted bronze turkey for those who have stepped in it, we'll tell you who won last week and who's nominated this week. You know, Charles, CRT, which is critical race theory, this has been building. This is a brainwashing of our kids that are happening in the schools right now. And it's becoming a massive problem. Where do you see this at right now? Where do we go from here? How do we eradicate? Because this has become a very real situation in and around our educational institutions at this point in time, sir.
Well, critical race theory is exactly what it is. It's a theory. It's not dangerous. It's a real thing. And it's the way of looking at American history and American politics and American law, and to understand that just because laws are passed, like, you know, when you end slavery, it doesn't mean that the stigma of how you treat black people immediately goes away. And it doesn't mean that the minute that you stop the anti-Asian laws that they had in California during the late 1800s and early 1900s, just because you pass laws and you stop discriminating against Asians, it doesn't mean that the stigma against Asians goes away. And that goes for American Indians, Latinos, Jews, Catholics, Irish, Italians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, straight down the line. That's what critical race theory is. So anybody who talks about critical race theory, talks about it as brainwashing, I suggest that you actually read the papers. There's three or four major papers, and I'll be happy to post them online if you want to know exactly what it is. You know, like the Reader's Digest version, it's not dangerous. It's us being honest about our history. That's what it is. And the way we pass laws, the way we enforce laws. This just happens to be my ballpark, right? This is my field. This is what I do. So I know about this. I know a lot about it. I know more about it than probably anybody I've heard on television. Because it's a matter of, it's the way we tell the truth to our children. And by the way, our country has got a lot to be very, very sad about. Slavery notwithstanding. Okay? Ask that. So critical race theory is not,
I know a little bit about CRT myself.
By the way,
and I will say this. I will say this, Charles.
At its heart, it's not propaganda.
Charles, I will say this. Critical race theory is being shoved down our kids' throats under this guise of equity and anti-racism. I look at it in reality here, okay? I look at it in reality, Steve, and to me, you know, it's a poisonous form of brainwashing. It has gone into the classroom right now. It hurts everybody, regardless of race, in my estimation. Now, listen, I agree with you to a point, Charles, where teaching of it needs to be in play, but you're not getting that right now. There is a lot of haunting of the classrooms going on right now. And in my estimation, you have to have something done about it, Steve. But to me, I look at this as almost a brainwashing when we talk about some of these incidents in and around the country. You feel that way? Do you feel differently? You agree more with Charles? What's your stake?
You know, you're gonna think that I'm crazy, but both of you are so right. Both of you. I mean, it's a simple thing. Jay, I'm with you 100%. Charlie, I'm with you 100%. Especially when you say how it could be handled into something that it wasn't meant to be. And that's exactly what's going on. When you leave it to, again, leadership, 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 the PTA bake sale people are gonna tell you that, all right, let's get this people first to make them feel better, and that will be their reparations for the day to make them feel better, to make up for something. That's a dangerous standard. And that's what's going on in our school. And you're right, Jay, it is being brainwashed. I see it in my own school district. I see it throughout the country where this is going. And Charlie, you're 100% right too, because it wasn't meant to be that way. It's not what it's meant to be. So if you just look at it, we don't have to do like this whole giant debate. It's a common sense solution right here. Okay? You don't have to rewrite history, take down statues, read this and that. It's like we've always said, tell the story. There's a story to be told. Tell the story, but don't rewrite history. Don't rewrite this and that. Don't, you know, they're sitting there saying, you know, slavery and this and that. They want they're gonna sue and whatever this and that. It's all, listen, you can't redo history as much as you want to. You can't, even if it's wrong. Okay, the best you could do is move forward and try to make this world a better place and learn from the bad history. Learn from it. Learn from it and move forward, but don't brainwash, okay? Don't sit there and go into our schools and brainwash our kids. So, Jay, I'm 100% on board with you.
I mean, that's what it is. It, to me, you know, it's a form of communism. It's a form of demoralization here. We're turning the blacks against the whites, teachers against the students. You know, it's about demoralization. It really is. But more conversation on this in more weeks to come, I am sure. All right, a Price Waterhouse sealed envelope, ladies and gentlemen. The nominees for last week's Bronze Turkey. It's an award we give out for those who have stepped in it in a very big way. The nominees, Stephen had Comptroller Scott Stringer out of New York City. I had Roger Federer for his pulling out of the French Open unceremoniously. And Charles is the winner. He had an easy one there. President Joe Biden. Okay. 6,800 votes. Joe Biden, the winner of the Bronze 30. Congratulations, Mr. Walshine.
Well, he deserved it.
There you go. Upcoming for those who've stepped in it, for the upcoming, your nominee, Mr. Schwartz, please.
I'm going to go with LeVon Bell. LeVon Bell, who has been, you know, a problem in the NFL now for many, many years, has gone through many, many coaches, people that don't want to coach him. So he gets his last chance, in my opinion, or maybe not his last chance, maybe his second to last chance, with the Kansas City Chiefs, who make it to the Super Bowl, and Papa Bear coach Andy Reid, who was loved by the NFL, loved by the nation. And LeVon Bell comes out this week and says, I will never play for that man ever again. This guy completely dropped the ball, stepped right into it. He's the one guy that you don't go after is Andy Reid. If you can't play for Andy Reid, I don't think you could play for anybody. LeVon Bell, you know, he's my turd of the week.
LeVon Bell, all right. Interesting one there. Interesting selection. Mr. Walshine, your selection, sir.
You know, I really have to give it to Elon Musk. And as much as I love Elon Musk and his vision and all the things that he's done, his calls on Bitcoin are just absurd. I don't know. And, like, you know, one day we have to actually have a conversation on the air about Bitcoin and what it is. But all I can tell you, it's fake currency. You can't even. Elon, he's just so out of his mind and forgetting people that, oh, look, everybody says, look, Elon Musk, he's a billionaire. He built his own rocket ship. He's going, he's going to fly to Mars and set up a tent and have a campfire. And look, this guy's a genius. He must know what he's doing. This is like, these are dogs chasing their own tails. This is crazy. I got to give it to Elon Musk because he keeps talking about Bitcoin and he's just out of his mind. And, you know, if you have Bitcoin, get the hell out of it. Just get out of it because it's not real. I don't care what anybody says. It's not real. Elon Musk, stop it. Just stop now. I've been feeling about this way for 6 months already. Just stop. Stop talking about Bitcoin.
Elon Musk, listen, mine is, I think, the slam dunk of the week. It's got to be Maya Wiley. I mentioned this to you last night, too, Charles. What a disaster if this woman is ever to be the mayor of New York City. To refuse to commit to not disarm cops at the debate. I forgot who asked her the question. This is de Blasio's former legal advisor on what she thought of Letitia James' suggestion, a mandate that enforcement use force only as a last resort. She dodged the question. She said safety is job one. She's going to keep New Yorkers safe when she's mayor, she said. But she's not prepared to make a decision in that debate that we have heard Maya Wiley. Listen, she's a cop hater, okay? She hates cops. She wants to disarm cops. Like, we don't have a problem already in our big city as far as crime and murders and everything else they threw the roof. Maya Wiley is an absolute disaster. God for police. If there's a God up there, Maya Wiley is not to win the Democratic nomination for mayor of New York City. Maya Wiley, folks, is my pick. And by the way, you can vote by going on the LI News Radio Twitter page. It would be remiss to end this conversation, gentlemen, if I didn't say to Mr. Schwartz, because I always remember his beloved father who passed away a year ago from COVID complications and whatnot. It was Lenny Schwartz's to be birthday, which I believe is coming up in a couple of days. I think I have that right. And Steve, I know you have a very heavy heart. I know how much you love your father and everything else. So we send our well wishes to you, sir, in a tough time. I know you're going. Wanted you to know that.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Yes, thanks for that, Jay.
Appreciate it all. We'll talk again next week, Charles and Steve. Don't forget MrDumble.com. Folks, check it out. It is a very hot-selling shirt right now. Check it out, MrDumble.com. Guys, we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.